Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, our number four, actually, our number two for 570 KVI, but we start at 8 o'clock every Saturday morning, so if you're just hanging around next Saturday morning with nothing to do, check us out starting at 8 o'clock. You can go to our website, lmclinic.com, push on the little podcast button near the top of the page, and it will tell you where we are for all 4 hours, okay? Noon to 12, right here on 570 KVI. Now, we were kind of near the end, but not quite finished with Rich.
Actually, I'm not sure how close to the end we were. That was why I suggested we do go first.
Okay.
But let me try. Let me see if I can do this a bit.
Quick review.
Okay. This is a gentleman wanting to know about type 2 diabetes and what we recommend as far as insulin levels, glucose levels, and therapies that adjust them. Type 2 diabetes is, for most people, a biphasic disease. You can get viral infections of your pancreas. You can get trauma. You can get ischemic disease that will kill portions of the pancreas and give you diabetes. But the vast majority of type 2 diabetics happen like this. As we eat, as we live, we tend to eat high carbohydrate, excessive calories, and we start getting fat. As we develop our increasing body fat, we are also shifting our metabolism towards insulin resistance, because the increased insulin triggers your body so that when you eat excess carbohydrates or excess calories, to take that glucose, shift it to triglycerides, move the triglycerides around your body and deposit them into the fat stores. And in kind of a secondary method, triggering your body fat is a secondary way of lowering your blood sugar, because you're turning the sugar into triglycerides, which then become fat.
Okay.
So you've got the insulin to drive the sugar down by getting it into the cells to be burned, but if you're already burning all you can burn, then you shift the excess to fat. Most people don't realize that that body fat you're developing is an effort to lower your blood sugar. As this process goes on, your insulin levels go higher and higher and higher, because the higher the insulin, the bigger your production of fat. So your insulin levels start off when you're a newborn are down around 1 or less. By the time you're a teenager, they're up around 7 or 8. By the time you're in your 20s and 30s, they may be 20 or 30 themselves. I often see people with peak insulin levels after a high carbohydrate meal that'll run an insulin level of 110, 115, dramatically higher than a healthy level. And they're just driving that sugar into fat at a furious rate. So the fat is coming from the high insulin. It's not the not the fat causing the high insulin. Eventually, your pancreas just gives up. You reach a point with super high insulin levels in which your pancreas begins to kill your beta cells. They just start dying and withering up and going away. Now you've got somebody who requires really high insulin levels to keep their sugar under control, and they can no longer produce high insulin. They become a type 2 diabetic. Okay. If we can catch them before the pancreas is too toasted, about 70% of the time, we can lower their insulin resistance. We get rid of their excess body fat. We shift their metabolism towards muscle production. We raise their anabolic hormone level, all of which causes insulin sensitivity. And we lean them out, and most of them, about 7 out of 10, can eventually go off of their all their diabetes medicines and have perfectly healthy, robust insulin levels. In a healthy person, I want to see a fasting insulin of about 3. I definitely want it under 10. 10 is my cutoff. I never accept a fasting insulin of 10 or above, but I prefer it down around 2, 3, 4. If you can maintain a good blood sugar in the 70s or so, 70 to maybe 80, with an insulin of 3, you're in good shape.
Good.
The more insulin it takes to control your sugar, the bigger trouble you're in.
Okay. So you okay with that, Rich? Anything else?
Well, I'll just praise Dr. Nick Mixon because of the fact that he was the first one to brought to my attention that the person going to their primary care physician have a normal blood glucose, and they're never, ever having their fasting insulin checked, and so they don't see it rising. And that's what happened to me, basically. My blood sugar, it generally is, you know, I'm more in the what's called the pre-diabetic. I'm not diabetic, I just want to praise you for that, Dr. Mixon. Thank you. You're the only, you know, and I had to plead with my doctor to measure my insulin level. No, we're not going to measure insulin levels. You're not diabetic. I said, please take my insulin levels, will you?
It's amazing, yeah. Isn't it?
So, I just wanted to praise for that. One quick question, if you could.
Yes, sir.
Just the difference, best type of exercise, high intensity or aerobic, or does it matter?
I like a mix. Both of them are of benefit. There's no question. But the sheer amount of muscle you've got, working muscle increases over 100 different myokines, anti-inflammatory products, and growth factors, including brain-derived neurotrophic factors. So they actually help you to grow new brain and peripheral nerve tissue. So the more muscle you've got, the more intensely and frequently it works, the better off you are. Aerobic activity is very good at lowering your sugar now, because you're burning a lot of calories by making those muscles work for 30, 40, 50 an hour. And anaerobic activity is great for building muscle mass. So I prefer a mixture of each. I try to run 3.5 miles a day, and then I do maybe 35, 45 minutes of weightlifting to provide adequate muscle mass. So I like do both.
Thank you. Okay? Stay lean and mean.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Hey, thank you, Rich. You know, this whole area of diabetes is still very frustrating. You were accused of being radical by suggesting that we could cure or reverse. Yeah.
And now the American Academy of Family Physicians gives courses in how to put people into, quote, remission.
Right.
And now that has become, it's not can we improve it. The question is, what are we going to call it? Do we call it remission? Do we call it a cure? If your blood sugars are now well within the normal range and you're off medications, I say we fixed your diabetes. But if you're no longer a diabetic, then insurance companies won't pay to monitor you. So what they do is they say, well, you're still a diabetic. You're just in remission. And now we can keep following you and the insurance will pay for it.
Oh, brother. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. It's an insurance company game.
We've told the story, but we've got lots of stories of patients that have come in and their primary care physicians that say, oh, don't worry about it. You're pre-diabetic or you're not a horrible diabetic. We'll help you manage.
Yeah, we'll treat it when you become a diabetic.
Yes. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's more than crazy. The guy that I think of.
Why would you want to wait till they have the heart attack to start treating the cardiovascular disease?
That's exactly how medicine seems to be looking at it.
I know. And I'd say if we see you're developing cardiovascular disease, let's intervene now before the heart attack before the stroke.
That's right.
Same thing with diabetes. I don't want to wait till you're an overt diabetic. I want to look at the trends. I want to see where you're headed. and I want to turn it around in a healthy way before you become a diabetic.
This is why one of the tests that we do in our free health analysis appointment is in this arena. We need to check. And so this is why we make two free tests actually available in our free health analysis appointments. And we announced this a month ago, that we're now not only giving you the two free tests, but also a couple of free masks, the good ones, and also $100 worth of longevity supplements. And we've got quite a few to choose from, so obviously $100 worth of supplements of your choice, longevity supplements. If you make your appointment and come on in before the end of the third week of May, we've extended it. And so we've got a whole bunch of new, very big news. We've made the announcement earlier today. Via told me that we've now got about 15 or 16 appointments in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. So if you want one of those free tests and you want the free mask and the free $100 worth of supplements, go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Push on the health analysis button, and it'll take you like 3 or 4 minutes to schedule your own free appointment at the clinic of your choice. They're available on a first-come, first-served basis, and we encourage you to do it right away. They'll be gone. It won't take long. Go to lmclinic.com. Okay, well, we have delayed Dr. Michael Gilbert a full quarter hour. You suggested this might happen, and it did.
It did.
But that was really, really good stuff on diabetes and blood sugar and stuff. So my apologies to Dr. Gilbert, but when we come back from this break, he is up first. He's next. The question that came in, why I asked him, the question is this. I'm a 52-year-old, and this week my eyes have become increasingly red, itchy, and teary. How can I tell if this is coronavirus or not? Well, so I texted him, and boom, he's next. We'll be right back.
There are certainly a lot of benefits for being a patient at Longevity. Strength, endurance, energy, they're all increased, and I feel absolutely great. I'm in my mid-70s now, and I see no end in sight. Thank you, Longevity.
What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down.
What a drag it is getting old.
Yeah, glad we aren't ever going to do it.
Never. I refuse. I refuse.
Although I have heard that getting old is required, growing up is optional. So I'm sticking with the Peter Pan syndrome.
Peter Pan. Oh, yeah.
Peter Pan syndrome. That's where you just refuse to grow up.
That's right. All right. I think I told you, I read you the question that someone texted me earlier today during the first hour of our 4 hours on radio. And the question is this. I'm 52 years old, and this week my eyes have become increasingly red, itchy, and teary. How can I tell if this is coronavirus or not? And so I immediately reached out to Dr. Michael Gilbert with Northwest Vision Institute. And Dr. Gilbert, Michael, are you with me, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Hey.
It's been a great morning. I really appreciate getting a chance to listen and remind of the breadth of medicine that you always bring to the radio. Just as a motivating footnote for those with diabetes, 45% of patients with diabetes have one degree of diabetic eye disease. So it's really, really powerfully important to turn that around.
Yes, it is. And earlier is better.
Absolutely. because those, all of those changes tend to be progressive, and as eye disease, and you can't always reverse eye disease. That can lead to permanent damage. So let's talk about the young lady who called in with the red teary eyes. Certainly, her presentation could be either, but by far the most common would be a seasonal or environmental allergy. And I think the history would help you there. If you have a history of some allergic symptoms in the spring, then this is most likely that. I think one of the biggest hints would be the itching, because itching is more common for allergy. So the intensity of the itching leans us towards that, whereas viral conjunctivitis, including COVID, is more commonly a degree of burning. So the season, all of those things lean toward this being much more allergic. One of the things that you could do would be to try just even artificial tears might help. Cold may help. And just over-the-counter antihistamine. There used to be all by prescription, but now there are many of the over-the-counter allergy drops. And if that makes any improvement, then I would say, absent any other symptoms like the fever, the chills, the shortness of breath, the fatigue, muscle ache, if you don't have those that lean us toward a viral possibility, I think it's much more likely the allergies, and I would treat it as you usually do with the allergies. But bottom line, this is a very good presentation for telehealth for us. Most likely just chatting with you and being able to look at the eyes, we can get a pretty good idea whether it's allergy, environmental allergy, seasonal allergy, or if it could be something more serious.
So even on a FaceTime or Zoom or Skype, you can still be of help.
Yes, those can be used. We have telehealth that is HIPAA compliant, which those are not. And we just email it to you, and you just press the button. You don't have to download anything. You don't have to learn anything. And you are automatically brought into our virtual waiting room. And then we get a chance to chat with each other. And I have to dress up because you can see me. And good news, I can see people's eyes.
Okay. Will you have your bow tie on? Well, that I want to know.
Well, honestly, during this environment, I'm more commonly in scrubs, but it is our habit to dress more formally, but not when we're trying to keep everything sure. In this special pandemic environment.
So real quickly, we've got to go here shortly, but let me just ask you, what's the latest scuttlebutt from Olympia regarding your facilities at Northwest Vision Institute?
Well, there have been no formal changes from the recommendation that we're able to gradually resume activities. Many clinics like ours and others on the east side are gradually opening up. We saw patients this week with more urgent conditions, chronic conditions like the diabetic eye disease, macular degeneration, glaucoma. Starting May 1, we're opening up to more general patients. The throughput is going to be different because, of course, we have now what's called a virtual waiting room for the office where we call you from your car as soon as we're ready to see you. We bring you into one room and you're moved out again. So we're changing the way we see and process patients. Nice for the patients because it's going to be much more efficient, less time in the office. And we're gradually able to see patients again. Right now, the state is allowing us to plan on starting surgeries mid-month.
That's good.
May 18, unless they change their minds on that.
Okay. Well, bottom line is we keep hearing that there is starting to be a price that's being paid for the delay for regular type checkups and these kinds of things, and that certainly is true with eye care.
Well, my biggest concern is most eye care conditions that are sight-threatening have no early symptoms. So you don't know about those until you have permanent loss of vision. So I think having those periodic health checks to make sure that everything is working all right and you aren't gradually developing a change that could cost you long term. African Americans are 8 times more likely to have glaucoma and more likely to go blind. Asians are higher to a likelihood of angle closure glaucoma. 90% of Americans with age-related macular degeneration are white. So we're, you know, depending on what your risk group is, there are eye diseases that are sight-threatening, leading to permanent loss of vision, and usually no early symptoms.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, though, in that, and I have said this many times, human beings are a group of inbred subspecies. And, you know, this idea that every negative outcome for any particular racial group must be racism on the part of the medical community is just foolish.
Different
groups of us are simply susceptible to different diseases because our genome is different, because our ancestors were inbred. They developed different characteristics, different strengths, different weaknesses. And, you know, that's just the way human beings are. You know, for most of human history, people in Southern Africa did not interbreed with Norwegians very often. You know, they each developed specific characteristics. And so, you know, and those carry through to their descendants, to those of us today. So.
Interesting. You know, Michael, literally this last week, I have told myself, and I procrastinated, and I'm going to be calling you tomorrow or Monday. My eyes, I've been spending so much time on my computer, my eyes are going crazy. I've got to do something with my glasses. I've got to.
Okay.
Something is weird. I can't do it. I'm getting all fuzzy and stuff. And it's just I'm spending 3-4 hours more each day on the computer. And I
know how hard you work, Pete. I will tell you, the number one reason for fluctuating blurred and uncomfortable vision in the United States today is sheltering in place lockdown. We're spending way much more time on computers, screen time, and studies have shown that when we work on computers, we stop blinking. As you stop blinking, you interfere with the normal release mechanism for the lubricating component of your tears that affects both comfort and the sharpness of your vision. So most likely, it's not your eyes falling apart, it's how hard you're working on those webinars of yours.
And Pete is going to accept this as a recommendation that he go play golf more often.
That's it. Absolutely.
And I've got a tee time for May 5, the day
there you
they
are.
Open. I do.
All right.
Hey, Michael, thank you so much. People, you folks, really, Dr. Gilbert, his staff, they get such high marks, it's almost off the charts. Northwest Vision Institute in Bellevue, Dr. Michael Gilbert. Here's what you do. Call and make an appointment. They will take care of you, 425-450-2020. It's 425-450-2020. You can also check them out and make appointments at nwvision.com. nwvision.com. Michael, thank you. This was great. I'm so glad you called.
My joy.
Now,
Good to take care.
Are you telling me, Michael, that I don't need to come see you? I just need
to
blink
more? No, I'd
love to see you, Pete. Well,
that would be diagnostic. But if you're having those problems, part of it can be gradual loss. You end up damaging the gland system. So I'm guessing that you need to blink more, and we need to intervene a little bit to get those glands more healthy.
Okay, well, whatever that means, I'll be seeing you soon. If you can say, I'm going to be calling you Monday morning, and hopefully you can sneak me in soon, okay?
Perfect.
All right, thank you much.
Right.
Again, we got to go to a break. We will come back and talk with John from Tacoma, and he's got a question. But we have time for probably 2-3 more people past John, and those lines are open. call with your questions right now, 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. And again, if you're struggling with your eyes or you've been procrastinating or what have you, call Dr. Gilbert's office, Northwest Vision Institute, at 425-450-2020.
I, too, am a clinic member, and what really started me going to the clinic was I'm not feeling so hot. I will budget for the rest of my life to be in your clinic. Thank you so much for everything.
Come on like a dream, peaches and cream, lips like strawberry wine. You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine.
You're welcome back, everyone. We've got about 25 minutes or so. Jerry, you were snickering over across the studio during our break, and I must inquire as to why.
Well, I got a little text on WeChat from my wife. I don't know how many people have heard it because there hasn't been much in the Western press, but earlier this week, the Asian press, Japanese, South Korean, and so on, were reporting that Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, was either dying or in a vegetative state following botched heart surgery. Apparently, he had chest pain while he was out being active, was rushed to the hospital, required he needed a stent put in right away. China was going to send doctors down to do the stent for them, but they decided his condition was too serious. So the local surgeons in North Korea intervened to do his procedure. Now you're familiar with stents because you got a bunch of them in your heart. Apparently, he arrested. They had difficulty getting the stent in. He was without oxygen for about 8 minutes. And initially, they thought he was dying. He now appears, at least according to the Japanese and the South Korean press, to be in a vegetative state. Nobody knows if he's going to wake up or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Think this is legit?
Well, the Asian press is getting more and more positive about it. Initially, it was initial reports, one source. Now the Japanese seem to be very confident this happened. So the British press are picking it up, and even Fox News is running a thing on it finally this morning after 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
Of course, the question is that poor doctor, because he will certainly be executed. You don't kill off fearless leader or put him in a vegetative state and survive. It's you don't get sued there. They kind of dismember you, and your whole family ends up in a concentration camp being worked to death. My wife just sent me a little text saying the doctor who did Kim's heart surgery should receive the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh,
and that's why I was snickering. Was my wife's comment about giving the doctor the Nobel Peace Prize.
All right. Well, maybe.
Certainly he's done more for world peace than Barack Obama did by getting elected. He got the Nobel Peace Prize just for getting elected president.
Right.
Before he did diddly squat. I think the doctor that rid the world of Kim Jong-un should definitely be celebrated internationally.
That's right.
Oh, well. We'll have to wait now and see what sort of of dangerous psychopath his sister turns out to be.
That's right. I understand she is something.
Yeah, yeah.
Goodness.
Raised to be a mass murdering, vicious creature. So we'll see.
Okay. Let us go to Tacoma and talk to John. Hello, John.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Howdy.
So I've been on the prostate cancer treatment train for a while.
Okay.
And I started with 2 weeks of beam stuff, and then I got 2 days where they stick 22 needles up your tush.
Uh-huh.
And so
And they put in the radioactive seeds? Is that what they did?
Well, they put them in and then they take them out after 5 minutes.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not perfect. But a couple of weeks later, I started feeling sort of a discomfort in my pelvis area.
Uh-huh.
And then it started slowly getting worse. And I asked the guy who did the needles, hey, what do you know about this? And he said, oh, well, we didn't do anything. But I'm an engineer, so I took the needle CAT scan and I turned it into a 3D model. And you can very clearly see that one of the needles was forced against the pelvis bone, and it shows significant distortion. So it must have hit it and then scraped across it. And so I keep asking, and you know, but it's getting significantly worse now. And so I looked it up online, and it's saying that it's probably osteomyelitis.
Certainly, I worry. Let me, for the rest of the audience that doesn't know what we're talking about, let me see if I can put this in lay terms, okay? When you're trying to destroy a prostate because you've got a cancer in there, there are multiple ways to do it. And one of the ways is to expose it to localized radiation, gamma radiation with little seeds. You stick them in there. You provide a, depending on how potent they are and how many you're putting in, you leave them for some period of time and you pull them back out. And the idea is the radiation poisoning will kill the prostate and make it go away. But you're going through the bowel. And the bowel is not a sterile structure. It is full of poop normally, and you cannot truly sterilize the bowel. You can clean it. You get it cleaner than it normally is, but when you're putting needles, and in this case 22 needles, he's saying, through the bowel into the prostate, you're going from a very non-sterile into a sterile area.
Yeah.
And the possibility of seeding bacteria into the prostate is relatively high. It's not that unusual to get a bacterial prostatitis from this. If, as he is saying, the needles kind of went over exuberantly through the prostate and into the pelvic wall, then yes, you could have seeded organisms through the periosteum to the bone itself and developed a bone infection, an osteomyelitis is what we refer to that as. So it's certainly possible. Now, clearly, as the guy on the radio, I can't make that diagnosis.
Sure.
But it sounds worrisome. So he could have a prostatitis. He could be developing an abscess within the pelvis itself. He could, on the most scariest of the possibility, have actually developed an infection of the bone, of the pelvic bone, and osteomyelitis, which is the scariest because that's the hardest to cure.
Okay.
My friend, you need to go back. You need to raise whatever hell you need to raise, and somebody needs to do a workup. You need blood tests. You need to be looking for elevated white counts. You need to be looking for bacteria in your bloodstream. You need to be getting MRI scans of your pelvis. Looking for, yes, at the periosteum, at the bony structures, but also at the areas around the prostate. You know, have we got a problem with bowel? Have we got some other pelvic abscess forming? We don't know what it is, but this is not what's supposed to happen. And so since you have an adverse event, somebody needs to work it up and find out what's going on. Okay.
Soon. So I'm doing all those tests.
Good.
They just haven't come back yet.
Yeah.
And I think they stuck them through the perineum, not through the...
Okay, so they didn't go through the bowel, the perineum. All right. So less chance. You can sterilize the skin better than you can the rectum. That's the good news. Okay.
Yeah, but it definitely went right up against the bone. So my biggest issue is what doctor to talk to about this stuff.
Well, you're going to need a group of doctors. You're going to need radiologists to do the the MRI studies and the imaging studies. You're going to need an infectious disease guy or at least a good internist to start ordering all the blood cultures, the urine cultures, and so on. Somebody's going to need to order your CBC, your inflammatory markers. So, you know, there will be two or three doctors involved here. But you need to get the team going and see what the heck is going on.
Yeah, I think they did those tests.
Good.
Unfortunately, right. I fired my primary care guy
on
Friday.
So okay. I'm not going to ask in public why you fired your primary care guy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else, okay. John?
No, that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I would say he needs to.
He needs a good workup.
On top of that,
yes.
Right away. All righty. Well, I'll tell you what. I think we're going to go to a break just a hair early. You've been getting texts from your wife. I just am now getting texts from my wife. She's telling me she loves me, which is very nice. I love you too, sweetheart. I'll be home in not that long. And because we've got about 15 minutes to go here. I think I've got Stanley. Yes, I do. He has a question about resveratrol. And then I've got time for probably one more caller after Stanley. Oh, and we've got somebody else. Yes, we do. We've got two callers. So don't go far. We will be back before you know it.
If you or someone you love is struggling with memory issues, find out about Longevity Memory. Call Longevity right now to schedule your memory consultation evaluation at 425-654-0258. That's 425-654-0258.
Did you know coffee is the number two commodity in the entire world? Only behind oil is number one. Pete Talbot here again, and how would you like to stand with me in Guatemala or Brazil to watch a totally revitalized village, literally being pulled out of poverty, all because of the vision and mission of Camino Island Coffee? That's right. Camino Island Coffee helps to revitalize third world villages that are now growing their coffee beans and becoming the owner of the land while doing it. It's so exciting. And we're talking about Arabica beans that are organic and grown at high altitude and in the shade, which are far less acidic. If you consider yourself a coffee connoisseur, you ought to try a full pound of Camino Island Coffee for just 99 cents. That's right, 99 cents. You will taste the difference while changing the lives of an entire village. That's what I call life-changing coffee. A full pound for only 99 cents. Simply go to CaminoIslandCoffee.com/longevity. That's CaminoIslandCoffee.com/longevity or call 866-387-5282. 866-387-5282.
I'm a relatively new longevity patient, and I've been thoroughly impressed with how thorough the process is.
Hey, welcome back. I think we'll take a couple of more calls. I do want to remind everybody, though, this is becoming a bigger and bigger deal. Pain is no fun. Pain keeps you from sleeping. That's not good for you. Pain is just a pain. And many of you know who Dr. Dan Nelson is with Pro Ortho. He's sort of the guy we refer to, stem cell therapy, pain, all sorts of different pain protocols and things. He's been dealing with pain for over 30 years. That's his specialty. Well, he's got a webinar this afternoon at 3:00. And if you want to be a part of it and join it, again, it's free. You just simply need to go to his website, just maybe a minute or two before 3:00, at conqueringyourpain.com. All right? conqueringyourpain.com. And there'll be a link there that you click. It's very, very easy to do. Not rocket science. Go to conqueringyourpain.com at 3 o'clock this afternoon with our very own Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. You'll be glad you did. Conqueringyourpain.com, 3 o'clock today. If pain is getting the better of you, do something about it, for goodness sakes. Okay, let us go to Stanley in West Seattle. Stanley, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hello. Hello, doctor.
Hello, sir.
Yeah.
How can we help?
Doctor, I'm amazed I'm speaking to you. I don't make phone calls, but I've been listening to you for many years on the radio. Yeah. You do a great public service.
Well, thank you, sir.
And I was, I know you like to take a lot of resveratrol. I've been taking resveratrol for years and years and years. And I think it was described as an anti-aging pill years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know how truthful that is.
Well, it does some things that we like to aging bodies. That's true. It's a potent antioxidant. It's a very potent bioflavonoid. It lowers the risk of several cancers. It actually makes many cancer chemotherapies more effective. And it has a significant impact on cognition. Age-related cognition is significantly improved by it. So, you know, if by anti-aging you mean decreasing the incidence or the severity of the normal declines of aging, then yes, it's anti-aging. Does it make you younger? No. You've lived how many hours you've lived. It doesn't warp space and time and make you younger. But it can help you to function better in some ways.
Yes. I'll be 85 in June, and I'm reading a column. Every Sunday, in Seattle Times has a column. They call it the People's Pharmacy. It's in the Sunday Seattle Times. And they talk about resveratrol and also sleep. I'm reading the same issue here. The person who called about sleep before, now these are like homemade remedies, doctor, so you may you may be a little skeptical. But the pharmacy looks into these sort of, this pharmacist looks into these things. And the pharmacist, I've read about this before. It's about raisins. According to the pharmacy expertise, a person who, say, eats a quarter cup, or say a couple of ounces of raisins an hour before bedtime, has a better chance of sleeping through. And for men, a better chance of not getting up in the middle of the night, you know, to go to go to tinkle. Yeah. So, two good issues. One is on resveratrol, and you also on resveratrol, it's two food items are considered loaded with resveratrol. One is grapes, I assume red grapes.
Yep.
And the other one is peanut skins. Have you ever heard of that, peanut skins?
Yes. Yeah, resveratrol is in a lot of fruit and vegetable compounds, and yes, the skin, not the pea itself.
Not the peanut. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Most people throw away the skin. You know that little thing that's on the peanut. You know
that little reddish thing.
That
yes.
Little, yeah. Is that funny?
Yep.
Potato skin.
But once more in the grapes, it is the seed and the skin of the grape, sugary pulp. Yes. I take a 350 milligram resveratrol capsule. I take two of them in the morning and one at night. That gets me, a bit over 1,000 milligrams a day. But I know neurologists that are treating early Alzheimer's with 1,000 milligrams three times a day. So
I'm telling you, you are correct. You are a fine specimen of the medical industry. Yeah.
Stanley, thank you for your call. You're a good guy. Appreciate it.
Okay, I don't want to waste too much of your time, doctor.
All right.
Okay,
thanks, sir. Let's go to Bellingham and talk to Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hello,
welcome
Bill.
To the show.
Yeah, hi. This is Dr. Nixon.
Nixon. Yep. M is in medicine.
Yeah, right. So one thing you can help me out, actually, I haven't had it much luck in the last few years. I got swollen toes. I took a bicycle trip back 5 years ago. 2 months after I got back from that trip, I got shaking foot, tremors in the hand. and also minute back neck pain.
Oh, dear.
So what else? Quite a bit here.
So have you seen a neurologist and a cardiologist?
It takes us a long time. I haven't seen actually a neurologist. I saw several neurologists, but I didn't like the way they operate there. It's just, haven't had anything concrete here explained to me so far.
Well, the tremors worry me.
Round to 300 miles.
The tremors worry me regarding neurologically degenerative disease. Mm-hmm. So I'd really like to get a good neuro workup on you. That would include an MRI of your brain along with some nerve conduction studies.
When they took some MRI results, so they say that neurons missing in the brain or something like that. Are you learning about that?
Well, that's certainly possible. I mean, that's what we're looking for. If you're developing tremors, there are several areas that can worry us. And, you know, if the substantia nigra is deficient, then we may be looking at Parkinson's disease. The characteristic of the tremors will tell us a fair bit about that, too. The swelling of the toes and feet.
My left arms shake suddenly on the pulse, I should tell you.
Okay, yeah.
It's a bang or some kind of bang. I don't know what that means.
Well, once more, you're going to need a good neuro workup. So someone with expertise in degenerative neurologic problems needs to see you and do your imaging studies. And then your swelling in your lower extremities worry me, too. That can be anywhere.
Swelling foot and toes and all. And swollen hand, left hand is pretty well swollen up, too.
Okay. And again, this can come from denervation, so that the muscles are not contracting properly, but it could also come from lymphatic obstruction. We could be looking at metastatic disease of some sort. So, you need
disease?
Some guys. Your pelvic cancers, that sort of thing. We have to worry about those. If you've got a tumor that's obstructing your lymphatic outflow, that can cause those feet and so on to swell.
Bottom line, nothing we can help you with today, but other than to get to
a
doctor.
I was at a chiropractor a few weeks ago. They said you can do an upper cervical adjustment. What does that mean?
I don't know, but I would not be seeing a chiropractor for this problem. Okay.
I would see a good
neurologist and a good general internist. So, cause you need a good workup. Somebody needs to start at the top of your head and work all the way to your toes. Okay. You got aggressive lab.
Would that bike trip affect this situation?
Probably not.
Like 300 miles. That's a lot of big workup, believe me.
I know it's quite a workout, but that would not cause this. Something else is going on here. No, something else is going on here.
And with this, I'm afraid we've got to say goodbye. I'm sorry, Bill, but we're running out of our 2 hours.
That's right.
So get to the doctor.
Doctors, in this
doctors.
Case.
That's right. No dilly dally here. Let's do that. Appreciate the call. Well, we're just about out of time. Let me just remind everybody. There are so many reasons, but now there's never been a better time to take good care of your health. And this is, I think, why we have become so busy here at Longevity Medical Clinic. But as I announced earlier today with quite a bit of fanfare, we have introduced an additional 15, 16, or 17 appointments, the free health analysis appointments, at each of our three clinics, Longevity Medical Clinics, one in Tacoma, Linwood, and in Kirkland. And you get the two free tests when you come in for the free appointment, two free tests. You get two free masks, by the way, because we have the quality N95 masks. And then we also give you $100 of longevity supplements of your choice. We have like 30 or 40 to choose from. So that's good too. Lots of reasons. And those appointments, those 15 to 17 in each of the three clinics are available for appointments through the third week of May. All right. And they're available on a first come, first served basis. And you can make an appointment online right this minute. You literally go to our website, lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com, And right on the homepage there, you can't miss it. It'll show you the tab to push to make an appointment. And when you do that, the actual schedule for the clinic you choose for the free health analysis appointments actually shows up on the screen, you know, like Tuesday at 2 o'clock, Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning, whatever it is. And you select it. You just click on the appointment you want, and boom, it's yours. So we encourage you to do that. Two free tests, the free masks, and $100 worth of longevity supplements if you're willing to come in. And believe me, these will be gone like the others when I announce them are gone. We hope you'll do that. Go to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. All right. Anything else? Don't forget Dr. Dan Nelson with his free pain webinar this afternoon at 3 o'clock. If you're struggling with pain, oh my goodness. Don't horse around with that. Deal with that. First step, get information. The webinar is this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Go to conqueringyourpain.com. Conqueringyourpain.com. And you'll have Dr. Nelson. I think you'll have another doctor or two on there from Boston Scientific. And it's going to be well done. It's going to be a smart thing to do. Conqueringyourpain.com. All right. Anything, Jerry, have I missed anything? We've got about 30 seconds.
I think we've covered it all. All right. Let's just have everybody come out, get their health analysis appointment.
That's
their
right.
Masks, their free supplements, and become a patient.
LMClinic.com. But the health analysis appointment is free. Hey, and good news for all you KVI listeners. You got a new program starting, Retirement Freedom, for the next 2 hours with Shane Cloninger and Susan Carter. They are with SC Financial. So stay with them. They've got a great program. All right. We'll see you next Saturday for another 4 hours of Leading Edge Medicine right here on KVI from noon to 2. Have a good one.